great to be here. I want to share with you a message that I shared beginning last year. It was on the 4th of January of last year I shared this. I don't know who was here then, but changed a little bit. But I felt like it's time again to sort of touch on this topic. And it's about faith, basically. But for us as a church, we're going into a season of change. We're moving to another venue, which is great. But it's not about a new venue. It's about, I believe, something that God wants to do in our hearts, in our spirits, an expectation, even as Kuba shared. God is wanting to do something on the inside of us so that we can move into that which He has destined us to move into. And that's how it always works with God. Before anything happens on the outside, before any victory on the outside, an external victory, you must first have an internal victory. Okay? Can you say that? Internal. Internal victory. That's how it works in the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not on the outside, it's on the inside. And when it happens, when it moves, when God manifests Himself on the inside, then He manifests Himself on the outside. Okay, so I want to share a bit about entering our promised land. There's a scripture, Hebrews 4, verse 1. You got it. It says, God's promise of entering His rest still stands. So God has made a promise of rest. And the author here says, it still stands, that promise. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. So we need to be so passionate about entering His rest. Because if you don't enter His rest, you're not receiving your inheritance, you're not receiving life, you're not in a good place. It's like when there's turmoil on the inside of you. If you experienced like big, massive, stormy waters on the inside, I'm sure we all have. Not a lack of experience, it's not nice. You know, but when there's chaos on the inside, God's kingdom can't come. Just can't. And so God has said there's this promise that He has given to us, a place of rest. Okay. So I don't know where you are at this evening in terms of peace or rest, but God is wanting us to come to a place of getting that victory on the outside. An internal state of victory. Possessing your soul, possessing your spirit, and possessing your body. Complete divine order in your whole being. And then it can flow over to your relationships, to your workplace, to church, to life. Okay, so God sets that before us, that place of rest. So where is God's rest? God's rest is when He reigns. When Jesus reigns in your mind, there's rest. When Jesus reigns in your spirit, there's rest. When Jesus reigns, there's peace. And how do we get to a place of rest? And that's basically through faith, where there's childlike trust. Childlike trust. That's where we come. That's where Jesus starts reigning. Okay, so I want to take you a bit through the Israelites taking the promised land. They started off in Egypt in slavery. Sure, we know that story. Most of us should. Slavery. Then they went into the wilderness. And then they, didn't make the promised land. They stuck there in the wilderness for about 40 years. The whole generation dying out. And then the next generation moved into the promised land. Okay, so I want to take you a bit through that. The slave mentality, that's where they started as slaves. 400 years of slavery. Imagine that. 400 years of slavery. Your grandmama was a slave. Your granddaddy was a slave. Your parents were slaves. That's all you know. If you're like at the end of that 400 years, all you know is slavery. So that affects one's way of thinking and living. It's called a slave mentality. You are conformed to start thinking in a certain way. I believe many Christians think, unfortunately, we think often like slaves. You know, like the Israelites, they had no frame of reference for greatness. I mean, they never achieved anything great because they were just slaves. Their history speaks of slavery. And so they cried out to God, said, God, save us. God, do something here. Change this. So for years they cried out. And then, oops, then suddenly God was there. God answered their prayers. They were like shocked. Whoa, what is this? What's happening here? God is saving us. God is setting us free from slavery, but they didn't know what to do with it. Have you ever, I've read some articles about guys who were down and out poor and they won the lotto. Usually destroys them and they lose everything because they don't have the frame of reference to handle success. And so it's something on the inside that needs to be shifted so that one can handle the promised land, so that one can handle the inheritance of God and the goodness of God. The slave mentality becomes a way of life. And we find our identity in it. We perceive ourselves in that way. This is just who I am. This is how I've always been. And I'm never going to be anything different. Me, God, doing great things in my life? No way. He's never done any great thing in my life. So how can that be? That's a slave mentality. You're allowing the past to determine your future. So when the slave mentality prevails, then our legacy becomes our limit. Our legacy becomes our limit. You see, we need a mind shift change. If we want to move into what God has in store for us as a church or for us as individuals, we need to have a mind shift. You cannot find your identity anymore from where you come from or what you've done in the past or your family, because your legacy, your past, becomes your limit. So you can say, well, nobody's ever gone there. And then you find Christopher Columbus. And he goes where no one has gone before. Pioneering mentality. Slave mentality says, well, nobody's done that before, so it can't be done. Well, my daddy never did that, so how can I be so arrogant to think I'm going to be different? Well, your daddy is no longer your daddy. He's your daddy. You've got a different dad. You've got different DNA. You're no longer just merely the son or daughter of your earthly parents. You have a new father with different DNA. He thinks differently. So you're going to say, well, my daddy's done some big things before. Yep. So why don't you? Why don't we? You see, it needs to shift in our minds. Our legacy becomes our limit, but we have a different legacy now. We have a legacy that comes from God. We need to realize that. Reinhard Bonnke tells the story. They did huge crusades or outreaches in Nigeria. And he says the one time it was unbelievable. He says the presence of God was like he couldn't imagine. Over a million people at one. There were 1.6 million people in the meeting. 1 million people committed their lives to God, filled in decision cards. And he says afterwards, he walked off stage and he said to himself, I think we've reached the limit. And then he says, as he said that, the Spirit of God rebuked him and said, God has no maximum. God has no maximum. That's so important to understand. God has no maximum, but we put a limit on God because of this legacy, because of the limitations in our own minds. We put ourselves in a box and we say, oh, I'm sure if I ask anybody here, is God awesome? Yes. Can God do awesome things? Yes. But would He do it for you? Oh, no, don't think so. Maybe not. No, not me. I mean, me. It's just me. Slave mentality. Slave mentality. That's not how God operates. God has no maximum. And if we allow our legacy to become our limit, then we can only go where we've already been. You can never break out because you can only go where you've already been. That's your limit. The limit is in your mind. The limit is in your heart. The limit is our faith. You see, God never does something miraculous, or let me put it like this. Our environment would not necessarily cause us to believe what God is wanting to do. Our physical senses can never tell us truly where God is wanting to take us. It is something in your heart. It is something in the spirit. It is something what you find in a place of prayer or when you minister unto God and then God speaks. He opens your eyes. He opens your mind and suddenly you see it differently. Your legacy is maybe broken relationships. Your legacy is mess up after mess up after mess up. So your past does not show you a good future. But God says, I have no maximum. I am in the business of changing lives. I am in the business of transforming lives. I am in the business of taking the down and out and making them different. I shared this with the guys the one time, but I mean the 12 disciples that Jesus chose, they weren't even spiritual. They were like fishermen. They were tax collectors, like the mafia. They were like nobodies. They were probably, I'm sure Peter the apostle was in many a bar fight, using foul language, drinking too much. But Jesus says, let me give you a new destiny. Let me take you and do something new with you. How big is your God? How big is your God? My God is huge. And sometimes God is wanting us just to click it again. He wants to open our eyes so that we can say, whoa, realignment, repositioning God's way. God has no maximum. And what happens is the enemy comes, you go through bad stuff, you get hurt. Or maybe you try to step out for God and you failed. You failed. And so you said, I'm not going to try that again. So you back off. I want to tell you, get up again. Do it again. Go for it again. Dream big again. Hope again. God is just waiting for it. Faith draws the presence of God. Faith draws the power of God. Faith. So have you given up? Have you just said, well, this is who I am and I'm never going to change? No. Don't park there. We shouldn't look to our past to determine who we are and where we are going. We should look to Almighty God and His Word, to His promises. What is the promises of God saying? You know, if I have to look at my past, I should go home and feel sorry for myself. If I go back about 14 years. But something on the inside of me is continuously saying, but I'm called for more than this. And it doesn't matter. It's like anything that God is doing is significant. As I'm telling myself over and over again. If Jesus has called me, it's significant. It's not about numbers, it's not about size. It can only be 10 people, but it's significant because it's a Jesus thing. But it's a heart attitude. It's a mindset to say, God, if you are doing something, then surely it is significant. It is significant. It is powerful. It is life-changing. It's so special. A few weeks ago, we went to Sterling. I've been going to Sterling Hostel for about a month now. And so the first week, we went and we got David there and we put up the speakers as a groot mission. And we put up everything. We carry all our stuff. And I spoke to the head of the hostel and we're going to go for it now. And then six kids pitch. Six. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, we're back next week. Bring a friend. We're coming back. Okay, next week we're there again. 18, praise Jesus. Okay, they all commit their lives to the Lord between the 2 weeks. So the 18 committed their lives to the Lord. Next week we're back again. There's 30. And so we ministering and the Lord is there. And it is special and his kids are being touched. And then next week I'm there again. And it's to a flat. There is nothing happening. I mean, it is like Jesus isn't in sight. I mean, 10 kilometers, God isn't close. I mean, these kids are like, man, this guy is so boring. And I'm like freaked out. So that Wednesday evening, I go home. I'm depressed. I am depressed. I'm thinking, this is not cool. This is not why Jesus died on the cross, for a boring experience. Okay, this is not what it's about. So I said, right, next week we'll be back. Okay, so now that's how God has wired me. I never give up. That's my name means endurance. So I always come back for more. And so the next week we decided, right, now we're going to go for it. So now we took all the names of these kids. Monday evening prayer. Now we're praying through all their names. And on the Wednesday, we're back with a band. And it's just amazing. The Lord really, I mean, all the, there's what, 30, 35, I don't know, kids there. And they were crying, and the Lord was touching them. And this past Bible study, this past week, some of them shared how they experienced God. You know, but it's something on the inside of us that needs to say, I'm not going to accept the status quo. Because otherwise you're dead. Finish and clear. This is how my marriage is. It's always going to be like that. Fine. That's all you're going to get. But you need to say, I am not going to accept this. This is the measure of me experiencing God in my life. I'm not accepting this. I want more. If I go to the scriptures, I read about a God that does miracles. I read about a God that saves the lost. I read about a God that when somebody meets with him, they are changed. So what are you settling for? Are you allowing your legacy to define you? Do you have a slave mentality? Have you given up? Have you said, well, God hasn't done any miracles in my life, so he's never gonna. That's just rubbish. That's just rubbish. Don't give up. Go back to the Word. Know that your dad is good. Your daddy is good. And he is all powerful. And he wants to work through you. God is not a respecter of man. He doesn't say, ooh, I go no van Monique. Ma go no van Sandra nie. He doesn't do that. Amen. He doesn't do that. He says, and that's how he operates. He says, whoever is hungry enough, whoever is wanting it bad enough. I remember as when I was a student growing up, I mean, every time in church, I mean, there was opportunity, I would storm to the front. I'll get somebody to pray for me because I wanted God. I wanted to meet with him. I wanted to be changed on the inside. I wanted to break free of all my bad stuff. Because I know God is able to. And I know he loves me. But do you know that? Do you believe that? That he wants to meet with you? Just get hungry for him. I've come to a place that I've learned that I am God's favorite. Always classic when I say that. We're thinking, yes, but he's arrogant. Goodness gracious. You can be his favorite too. We can all be his favorite if you would just believe it. If you would just believe that Jesus loves you and he died for you. Cast off the slave mentality. Anyway, so the Israelites are set free from Egypt and then they move into the wilderness. But this nagging doubt follows them. This shadow follows them, whispering in their ear, saying, this is too good to be true. Too good to be true. I think God is just leading you into the wilderness because he wants to kill you. That's what they said. So they were doubting and they were afraid. And they actually said that now we want to go back because we think God has come to kill us. God is, he's going to just whoop, just drop you. No, no, that's the devil. That's not God. That's not a loving God. God doesn't drop his children. Any parent here that would just drop his child? Any parent here that would do that? Now, why would our Heavenly Father do that? But they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know, where are we going? You see, they left Egypt. It's often been said, they left Egypt, but Egypt didn't leave them. Egypt didn't leave their mindset. And I think sometimes we're so afraid to be proud that we embrace false humility. We're so afraid to be confident that we embrace false humility. No, sometimes you need to just look in the mirror and say, you're the anointed of God. Jesus lives on the inside of you. He loves you. You're his favorite. Hey, you, his favorite. Okay, I don't do it too often. But but some of us need to do that. Sometimes some of us are so far from pride, you're very safe. Now you just go for it. Just start being confident. Just starting believing that you have received every spiritual gift in the heavenly places, as Ephesians 1 says. It all comes down to a childlike faith. Do you believe? How do you increase your faith? Throw off the slave mentality and then start receiving the word of God as if it is for you. Because it is. We need to get the slave mentality, the unbelief, the stinking thinking or small thinking out of our hearts, out of our lives. Our God is big, and therefore he has got a good, he's got big plans, significant plans. Every life he changes is significant. Every life he changes is significant. So Moses, on the other hand, the Israelites, they had all these doubts and all these things, and they complained and complained. Well, maybe we were shooting too high. Maybe we're no better than slaves. But Moses, something happened to Moses. He met with God in the wilderness, and he started to think differently. Oral Roberts says this: if we see the invisible, then we will do the impossible. Somebody else said, if we see what God sees, we will do what he says. If we see what God sees, we will do what he says. And whatever God says is always a test. It's always challenging to step out. Like we've been talking about finances the last few weeks. It's a test of your trust in God. Or do you always just want to trust in your own ability, your own resources, your own strength? You're never going to do great things. But if we step out, say, God, I'm going to follow you because you're big, you're faithful, you're going to provide. God, I'm going to step out because you are faithful. Because you are faithful. Anyway, so then the test comes. If you see the invisible, then you will do the impossible. But now this challenge came. God said, right, before we're going to go into the promised land to the Israelites, take 12 guys, the leaders of the different tribes, take them out and go check out the promised land. Go take a look. Numbers 13, verses 1 to 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving you. So God is saying, I am giving it to you. This is my promise for you. It's a done deal. But I now just want you to take a look. Just go and celebrate what I'm giving you. Just go celebrate. Because I'm giving it to you. But it was a test. Verse 26. So they went and they came back. And it says they brought... Verse 26, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they went there, they came back in the next verses, verses 27 to 28. It says, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they're saying, guys, it's exactly like God said. It is so. It's a wonderful, it's a lekker plek. This was London. Eh? The secret of South Africa. Eh? It's a lekker plek. And they say it is a lekker plek. But, the big but, falls in there. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, their giants. So yes, God has this good plan for us. But do you know what I'm struggling with? I just don't know. I don't know if God can set me free from this. It's just a huge giant. God has this good plan for my life, but sure, I have this background. Been struggling with my studies, been in a bad relationship, been this or that, my finances, my job, one job to another job. It's like, and I don't know how to overcome this. It's just this big giant. It's this massive thing in my way. I'm just sort of an insecure type of person, you know. That's just how I am. Not when the Spirit of God gets a hold of you. God sets us free from those type of things. So what giants are causing you to say, nevertheless? Can you say nevertheless? No, never say that again. That was your last one. It's over. Your airtime is up. Okay? Nevertheless is over. It is a good land. And then it says in verse 30, next one. Then Caleb quieted the people. So he said, guys, stop saying nevertheless. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Well able. Out of 12 guys, 2, and they were the leaders of the nation. 10 were extremely negative, saying, we can't do it. Have you seen those giants? Have you seen those fortresses? It's no way. And here comes Caleb, and he says, we can do it. And everyone's saying, what? Did you go on the same trip as us? Because you saw something different than we did. Caleb, are you okay? Is jy lekker in jou kop? Of is jy getuk? Goed getuk. I don't know what that's in English. Don't try and translate. But here's somebody that was different. Same evidence, but he looked at the challenges in the context of the greatness of God. The others looked at the challenges in the context of their ability. You can go right through the Bible. Every time God would truly move, it would be contrary to the circumstances. The people were down and out. The armies were 1,000,000 against 100,000. But then God would move. Because God is God. God is God. So where are you at? Are you on a Caleb? We can do it. Or are you, eita, nevertheless. Caleb saw the promised land in a different light. Look at this verse, Numbers 13, 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we, can you say we, are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Say we. We. They are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Arr. And all the people. I'm still trying to make like a lion. I couldn't, my boy, I'm trying to make it like a lion for him, but it's not working. Don't worry, I'll show you sometime in the future the way he does it. Okay. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There, verse 33, there we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Like grasshoppers, small, insignificant, nobody, a nobody Christian, grasshopper in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. They were intimidated with their circumstances. If you are intimidated with your circumstances, God cannot step onto the scene. We need to say, my God is able to overcome this. The Israelites had a slave mentality. And God wanted to give them a faith mentality. A faith mentality. The tomb is empty. Jesus is resurrected from the grave. Our God is alive. And He lives on the inside of you if you are a believer. The presence of God is with you. All you have to do is to believe it. Greater is He that lives in you than he that is in the world. Greater. Greater. Amen. So you must growl at the enemy and say, come on, come on. You want to mess with him? God lives on the inside of us. But the enemy wants us to focus. It's like he comes and he grabs your head and he turns it and says, look at that. And you get intimidated when you should be looking ahead. As the scripture says in Hebrews 12, looking unto Christ, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I found this over and over again in my life. Circumstances says, freak out. Come on, freak out party. Yay. But at those moments, you need to lift up your head to the living God and say, Lord Jesus, I'm looking into your eyes. I'm looking into your face. And I say, you are faithful. You have given me promises. You have given me your word. You've given me your presence. And you've equipped me to overcome every challenge. Lord, I need a job. Thank you, Jesus. You are my provision. God, I need financial breakthrough. God, I bless you. Show me the way. Show me how to steward my finances. God, I need relational healing. Teach me your ways because your ways work. I want my land. I want my inheritance. I want my promised land. God is not glorified when your life is falling apart. Do you realize that? He's not glorified when we are in the gutter. He is not glorified when we are a complete mess. And in the process, we give up. I'm not saying we don't go through bad times. I mean, Job went through bad times. Sometimes we go through bad times. But in the midst of that, we can still say, my God lives. Like a full Muslim. But my God lives and He's faithful. God is glorified when there is fruit in our lives. God is glorified when your work works. When your relationships work. And when you connect with Him. That is His will. But you have to make up your mind. Or do you have a slave mentality? We want to throw off that slave mentality. Now look at this. Numbers 14. Almost finished. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. This is Caleb speaking. And he says, if the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. They won't devour us. They are our bread. The devil so wants to make us afraid. Say, ooh, boo, ooh, ooh. Be afraid. I'm so, ooh. That's how it works. If you meet a witch doctor or something, you think, ooh, ooh. We want to run. That's how the enemy works. Mark your bung. Oh. Now you say, hey, booty. I'm going to eat you. This is my inheritance. You're going to turn to Christ. I'm going to preach the gospel to you, and you're going to turn to Jesus Christ. But we say, whoa, hardloop weg, instead of saying, this is an opportunity for the glory of God. Come on. That's how it works. Our greatest obstacles becomes our greatest victory. But you must get the right mindset. You must get the right mindset, the right mentality, saying, I'm coming back. You got this battle. Next week, I'm back. We're going to hit back harder. We're not going to give up because our God is amazing. Or maybe you've been struggling with sin. You've stumbled. You have fallen time and time again. So what? Get up. Get up and try again. Get up and turn to Jesus. What option do you have? Give up? Then you're going to miss out on everything God has destined you to have. We need a bit of a fighting spirit. We need a bit of a Joshua 1 where God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now go take the land. You be strong. You be courageous. God will fight the battle for you. Our enemy has been defeated. It's time for us to believe then. Take the land. And then just to end off with this one. Numbers 14:24. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. A different spirit. What is that spirit? It's a spirit of faith. It's a spirit of trust. It's a spirit that says, we're going to do it again. I'm going to come back harder next time. My God is with me. A different spirit. A different spirit. And followed me fully. You see, if we do not have faith, we will disobey God. If you're not persuaded about the will of God, you're going to be afraid. You're going to back off. You're going to turn away from the will of God, and in the end, it will cost you. Caleb had a different spirit. And each of us can have a different spirit. Each of us can say, I'm going to cast off this slave mentality nonsense. I'm going to cast off all. You see how it works is the devil is like a specialist in your past. He's a specialist. He's a historian. And he comes and he reminds you. Oh, he said, you want to try this? Do you remember what happened last time? Hey, but. The accuser of the brethren. What voices are you hearing? What accusations are coming against you? Are you going to say, God defines me. God establishes me. Success is in my destiny. Romans 8. Through all these things, challenges, difficulties, etc., we are more than conquerors through Christ. Afrikaans said it so prachtig. Ons is super oorwinnaars. Come on. Super oorwinnaars. Dis sommer lekker. Nuwe lewende vertaling. Super oorwinnaars. That's awesome. That is what God wants for us. So where are you at this time in your life? Has a spirit of doubt, a spirit of unbelief settled upon you? Are you allowing your past to determine your future? Are you allowing your past legacy to hold you back? Or are you going to cast off that yoke, cast off that slave mentality, and say today is a new day? I've got God DNA. And my God's heart is to give me an awesome future. And some of us need to get to possessing our promised land on the inside before the promised land on the outside can happen. Big giants, yes. bigger God? Absolutely. I really want us to focus on the Lord, to put our eyes in our hearts, to focus on the Lord Jesus, to cast off the lies and to say, it is time for me to take my promised land. Now, fear, you will go in Jesus' name. Doubts, you will go in Jesus' name. Unbelief, you will go in Jesus' name. My past nagging me, you will go in Jesus' name. My past sins, you will go in Jesus' name. And I will just hear the voice of my God saying, let's do it. Let's go. Let's take the land. Let's take the land. Mustard seed faith moves mountains, not big faith, little faith. God has no maximum. God has no maximum. It's especially nice to preach it with lots of open chairs tonight. God has no maximum for us as a church. God has no maximum for our lives. All we need to do is to connect with Him, cast off the slave mentality, and enter His rest. Come to a place of peace. The last few weeks, every now and again it happens, the devil once again takes my face and focuses me on something bad or something that wants to try and steal my faith. And then I'm reminded of that scripture that says, Colossians 3:1, which says, put your mind on things above, where Christ is seated. Good news. Jesus is seated on the throne. He has not fallen off. He never falls off. He's always in control. He's always aware of what's coming. He's always made provision. And when I tell myself, Jesus is still enthroned, it's like this rest comes upon my heart. Now I don't need to do anything. My God reigns. My God reigns. My God reigns. My God reigns. He is enthroned. This is seriously good news. But you need to believe it in your heart. You need to say, yes, He is enthroned. I'm struggling, but He isn't freaked out. I'm lacking, but He has more than enough. Let's close our eyes. I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank You. We thank You, God, that You will stir our faith muscles, Lord. God, that we'll cast off the slave mentality. Cast off the slave mentality. And we pray, God, You'll come and expose the lies. That we'll no longer say, but, that's just my personality. Or, that's not me. I can never do that. Lord, may we just stop putting limits on our lives. In the name of Jesus. No, your marriage won't always be as it is. It can get much better if Jesus steps onto the scene. Lord, I pray that we will stop settling in the wilderness when You've called us to step into our promised land. And God, we thank You for a hunger in our hearts and also a determination. So I'm coming for that which God has destined for me to have. And no man shall stop me. No man shall stand in my way. No devil, no circumstances, no fear. My God reigns. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that You'll come and set us free from a slave mentality. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand with You. Stand with me. Hallelujah. We just close our eyes for a moment. Just want to ask if you feel, as I've been ministering now, about slave mentality and your legacy being your limit and things like that, if If you feel that that is partly you, you've got a bit of a slave mentality in your life, would you raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we praise your name. Thank you, God, that you break the power of the enemy. Break the power of lies. Break the power of unbelief. Break the power of intimidation. Just every eye is closed. If there are giants in your life that intimidates you seriously, if that is you, just raise your hand. Especially if there's stuff like sin or stuff like that in your life as well, that can be a giant. That can be a giant. God, we worship you. Hallelujah. Can I ask that if you raise your hand and you come stand here in front, there's quite a few of you. I just feel we're going to pray for you tonight. Really minister and trust that the power of these lies will be broken. Just make a long line if you can't come. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for liberty, Lord. Thank you, God, for freedom, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that in your name we're going to cut down some giants. In your name we're going to address some intimidation. In your name, God, we're going to break some shackles. I just see a picture in my mind's eye. That some of us, you've got like slave clothes on. Like a slave cloak. It's the way you carry yourself. It's the way you think about yourself. It's an identity thing. And then I just see the Lord coming as you cast it off, and then he comes and puts a new cloak upon you. A royal cloak. A royal cloak. A son of the Most High. A daughter of the Most High. Father, we praise you. Father, we praise you. Spirit to minister to you now. Hallelujah. Just feel in my spirit the Lord is saying a new day has begun. A new day. A new day has begun. Let it be, Lord. A new day, a day of faith, a day of hope, a day of life. So take a moment and cast off that slave cloak. Just where you're standing now, you bring those things, those areas before God, and you say, speak it under your breath. You say, Lord, I cast this off. God, I expose this lie. This is not what you have destined me to. Cast it off. Right now, God. We cast it off. We cast it off. Insecurities go in Jesus' name. Just cast it off. Lies. worries, cast it off. Fear, cast it off. Sin, cast it off. For when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free indeed. Free indeed. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. We welcome your presence here, God. We welcome your grace and your love and your goodness. Thank you, God, that you give us a different spirit, a Caleb spirit, unflinching, persevering, never say die, never give up, always coming back to Christ for more strength, for more grace. A different spirit in Jesus' name. 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 Every form of slavery, every spirit of slavery, you will leave it now in Jesus' name. We reject it. We renounce it. God, we receive royalty, royal cloaks. Significance because of whom we know, Jesus. Let your kingdom come, God. Let your kingdom come, God. Let your kingdom come on the inside of us. Make a commitment right now, saying, I won't give up. I won't back off. I want my inheritance. I'm coming to get it. I'm going to wrestle with God as Jacob wrestled with the angel. And I'm saying, I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless me. I'm not going to let go of you, God, until you set me free. I'm not going to let go of you, God, until I'm holy. I'm not going to let go of you, God, until there's order in my life. And then I'm going to worship you even more. Lord, let your presence just come and touch us tonight, God. Let your presence come. Download new software, Lord God. New operating software. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. are greater, Lord. You are greater than any giant, any obstacle, any challenge ahead of us, God. You are greater, Lord. Establish your reign and rule in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I can cast off every slave mentality and every ungodly legacy. I cast it off, off from my mind, off from my spirit, and off from my body in Jesus' name. And I proclaim today, my God is greater. I proclaim today, my God is stronger. And I proclaim today that my body, my soul, and my spirit is my promised land. God has promised me that He will give this to me. And so now, God, I give it to you. I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, renew my mind. Deliver my spirit. Strengthen me. Give me courage. Give me perseverance. Lord, I take a hold of you right now. In the name of Jesus. I take a hold of the living God, and I thank you, God, that you've taken a hold of me, and you'll never let go. In Jesus' name, I proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ over my life. This land belongs to Him. Jesus reigns. Jesus, rule. Jesus, have your way. In the name of Jesus.